Blog Talk Radio. Hello, world. Welcome to Happy Talk Radio. This is Gloria Stanley, your host with inspiring love and hope from coast to coast. Happy Talk Radio is a family-friendly conduit in helping to elevate the mind, body, and soul in the totality of happiness. Happy Talk Radio represents topics that impact lives and communities to induce positive changes. Today, Weston Stroud, District 2 Commissioner candidate, is embedded in positive changes for the future of Macon, Georgia. He is the son of Judge Berta M. Colvin, Georgia Court of Appeals. He attended St. Peter's Claver for several years and later graduated from Mountain Sales Academy in Macon. He's a graduate from Syracuse University and has chosen He has chosen to return home to Macon to lead and to make a difference in the economic growth, welfare, and prosperity for the citizens right here in Macon, Georgia, because he cares. He says, I am here for you. One thing for certain, he is here on Happy Talk Radio to share his platform's vision to the people and for the people in truth as it pertains to blight, transit, housing, COVID-19, and more. So the question is, where you stand for him? Will you stand for him? So let's chat and find out right here, right now on Happy Talk Radio. Good morning, Weston Stroud. Thank you for being my guest on Happy Talk Radio.
Good morning, Ms. Stanley. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we are going to get this started because I know that you are a man of action and you have a lot of things on your plate that you would like to share with us this morning. So please share with us briefly a little bit about yourself and let's talk about blight.
Okay. Well, as you said, my name is Weston Stroud. I'm from Macon, Georgia. I'm a native here. I love Macon. And I guess I'll kind of get into blight because I love this topic, and I love the future that we have available for us here in Macon. So when we think about blight, I'll kind of explain what that is and what that looks like, and then explain my approach to how we're going to solve blight and create community cohesion. So blight, in its simplest form, is the divestment of capital from typically some type of structure. So it may be a home, it may be a commercial building, but it's not maintaining the building, or after it's been sold, or maybe deeded over to someone else, whoever the main proprietor of the property, they have to maintain it. And so once it goes into disrepair, it becomes blight, and it becomes an eyesore for the community and an issue when you think about poverty and crime. So one of the things that I focus in on is how we can help alleviate and address the problem surrounding blight. So here in Macon, we have nearly 4,000 homes that are blighted. So we have to come up with solutions that, one, address blight, but also turns it into something that's innovative, and it is going to be the basis of change and of investment. So my approach to addressing blight is to create more progressive zoning policies that allows for new businesses to go into some of these homes that are blighted. So the idea and the concept behind my approach is when you think about and you look, or when you look at planning and zoning, they have certain areas that they have already designated in 2001 as being economic community development target areas. These areas include places like South Macon, East Macon, Lenmore State. But one of the problems with it is, in the current way that the policy is, it only allows for homes to be it only allows for deviation with setbacks, with how far or how close your house is to the road. But what I want to implement and what I plan to implement is a policy that allows for commercial use or residential or retail use on the first floor and then residential use on the top floor of your home. And the idea behind that is that if you're a young entrepreneur getting into the business of whatever item of your choice, one of the ways and one of the biggest hurdles that a lot of new businesses face is figuring out where they can locate, where they can, one, have a storefront and afford that cost, as well as, you know, maintain their mortgage that they have at home or rent or whatever they're paying with their housing situation. So if you can bring housing and your workplace within the same structure, that just cuts your overhead costs, you know, in half. So now you don't have to think about trying to pay for a space that you lease as well as your rent or mortgage. It's all there in one. And then it incentivizes businesses to come invest in the areas that we know have historically seen divestment and have historically been redlined or have had I-75 or different highways, you know, plowed through neighborhoods and communities. So that's the basis of how I want to attack blight. Oftentimes we look at how we can just take the house down or clear the land so we can have property or just available space. But if we can turn blight into innovation incubators almost and give the opportunity for people that care, that want to see their community change. And one of the things that I talked about yesterday, and I kind of call it my quarantine chat, it's like FDR during the Great Depression. He had his fireside chats where he would, you know, talk to people and try to get people through this, through the era that they were dealing with depression. So it's my version of it during this pandemic. And one of the things that we touched on yesterday was about home daycares. And here in Macon, we have a lot of former educators. And home daycares is fairly simple. As long as there's 6 kids under the age of 17, you're allowed to have that at your home. So when we think about the effects of coronavirus going forward, when we integrate into our new society, one of the things they've told us to avoid are large groups and large gatherings. And so just scaling back the idea of what we're trying to attain as policymakers, as activists, as people that care about the community, a lot of times what we think of as positive growth is box stores coming to our community. But another side to that is supporting small businesses and helping them thrive. And so creating that type of environment where it's easier for small businesses to invest, to come in, to try to get started up in the neighborhoods where we know we need that type of innovation and resources. So that's my approach to blight.
Well, I personally like that that concept, because you making the Blight Project really multi-purpose,
right?
And that is just, I think that's a genuine genius idea in terms of really making it possible so that you can live there and also work there and still have
right.
two separate entities. So
exactly.
Yes, so I do see the prospect of it being a great investment. Now, with that idea, you just recently received a Downtown Community Challenge grant. How does that parallel
right.
with your grant?
So, my Downtown Challenge grant is focused in public art and infrastructure. And it started a lot of the grants, you know, they're available for the downtown because that's the highest return on investment when you improve the downtown. So getting that challenge, the first thing that we did was look at one of the first things I did was think about how you can bring art and transportation together. We want people to appreciate public services, even if they don't use it, to appreciate the good that it does for the community. And one of the ways that people can begin to appreciate the things that they don't use, if they can at least notice it. And if you notice it because of the good and instead of the bad, then that's even better. And so what one of the things that we – how we want to be noticed and seen is through art and through innovation and giving people the opportunity to reimagine what public space looks like. And so we're I partnered with the Macon Arts Alliance and the Transit Authority to begin to put the to allow artists to help develop bus shelters throughout the city. But we started with the downtown just as like a pilot program to see if there are artists that are interested. And I mean, the reception has been great, and it's exactly what I hope would happen. But how that kind of leverages into the planning and zoning, it's like when you think about the history so transportation is key, and that's one of the things that a lot of these communities that are experiencing, I guess, economic hardship, they depend on transportation, and so that's also a big portion of my platform, is how to figure out how to provide more transportation options for these communities that face the highest rates of blight. And and so the art project, the Downtown Challenge Project, is one kind of start allows the greater community to begin to appreciate those services, and then two, really, we hope to usher in a new service for the South Side and for the sides of the city that are experiencing the most blight and economic pressure or hardship. Because if people have a broader range of transportation options, then they have a broader range of mobility. They can go to the South Side to get a job in the industrial park, where they can have economic mobility, or get a job at Geico, where they can, you know, move up the ranks as well. But one of the problems we have now is that our buses don't go that far, and it's typically a funding issue. So we just got to figure out how we can provide transportation options that are affordable and also something that can help make that process easier. And so demand response is a transportation service that we're seeing in a lot of other small municipalities about the same size as Macon. And for example, like Gwinnett County, They kind of launched a pilot program just to see the viability of it, and as well as in Montgomery, they started a program, and it's been successful. It works like Uber and Lyft, where you ask for your ride to come pick you up, and it'll give you an approximate time of arrival. Depending on where you're located at, it might ask you to just walk to the nearest major street, and then there'll probably be one, maybe two other people, and they pick everyone up, and it's in it like a Sprinter van, and then they'll take you to your approximate location. So it's pretty much a door to door service.
Mm-hmm.
But what's that?
So what does your platform look like for the housing with all of these other ideas that we just talked about? How does the housing fit in for your district?
So one of the things about housing that's so important is the environment in which you buy a home, right, and how the environment is maintained. So for me, one of the biggest issues when I've gone to talk to voters is the lack of investment in maybe, say, Or maybe people just want to be heard a little bit more. And so, and sometimes people don't know about the tools that we have available here in Macon to help improve their community. And so for me, when it comes to housing, I care. The first things that we have to address is street structure and infrastructure and how that's designed. And so, one of the things that I want to tackle first, and that I'm going to tackle first, is tactical urbanism. I'm a board member with Bike Walk Macon, and that has been one of our focus points, And ever since I became a board member there, that's been one of the things I'm pushing, is to expand the idea of biking, walking, safety outside of just downtown and into the neighborhoods where people are actually living, you know, where there's just a broader range of people that live there and of income and diversity. So just extending that to that program with tactical urbanism, and what that means is there's simple low cost ways that we can invest in our community, that we can invest in neighborhoods to help make them safer for pedestrians and cyclists, so that when you're stuck at home, like during the coronavirus, you can have just as many recreational opportunities as anywhere else. So when you think about housing, a lot of the things that make up what a quote-unquote enjoyable neighborhood is the access of resources, the access of green spaces, right, when it comes to mental health and
right.
being able to have that space, you know, as well as safety and transportation, good quality streetlights so that you can feel safer. That, I mean, just talking to community members on the South Side, that's something that would change the whole landscape of the South Side if there was just more lighting so that it would deter crime. And I think that's one of those things that it's a simple, not a simple fix, but it's a simple fix, and it's understandable as to why it's important, especially when you think about how much blight that certain communities have. There's a whole theory of criminality where the broken window theory. Have you heard of that one?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I'll explain it, I guess, for the viewers. But the idea is that when petty crimes happen, so when a window's broken on a building and no one comes to fix it, then people begin to feel comfortable doing other sorts of crime, and then it just perpetuates a comfort with crime. And so in the areas that haven't seen the same rate of investment, when those windows break and when no one comes to fix it, it begins a system of just, you know, crime. And so we just have to be proactive in how we look at it and how we address it. And so we have to look at it early. And when people leave or when homes are left vacant, we need to figure out quickly how we can get new businesses, register small businesses or at-home businesses that are currently here in Macon. There's in planning and zoning and on the Macon Bib IT, they have a whole list and inventory of the small businesses that have licenses here and that have at-home businesses that may be renting, you know, somewhere else. So let's see how we can get them to move into the areas where we know could use that type of investment and could use more resources within the area.
I agree, because it's like, you know, they're all really intertwined, because until you do the construction on the blight project, then you still have to look at the housing situation and the transit that goes in with the housing and the people who
right.
will be in those neighborhoods. So I agree
right.
with that. I really love your concept in terms of really thinking about the people in the district and how it will benefit them in the future. Now, we are going to take a brief break, but I know that your ideas are not just reaching people in their 50s or 60s, but also the youth. And we're going to talk
right.
a little bit about how your market, how your platform is reaching the younger generations right after this song, okay?
Right.
Oh,
to Happy Talk Radio. This is Gloria Stanley, your host with the most happy talk from coast to coast. And my special guest today is Weston Stroud. He is running for District 2 Commissioner. And he is also striving to make certain that he reached the younger generation because, you know, voting is very significant for every man. And if you're old enough to vote, then you need to get out there and vote. So, Mr. Stroud, please share with us your efforts in terms of reaching the younger generation.
So for me personally, one of the first ways that I learned a lot of the social skills that I needed in life to advance was through music and trying to promote my my mixtape at the time, having to work with different magazines that were, it was at school. And so there were different papers and magazines that was school sponsored. And it got me out of my comfort zone, because the same people you may feel comfortable making music with are not the same people who are at the radio station who curate what music gets played. And so just being able to vacillate and to go through all these different groups to get my goal that I have in mind accomplished, it taught me how to socialize. And so taking my experience, I think that when we want these types of outcomes for the youth, first we got to figure out what do they like to do and how can we craft whatever they like to do to become or to look like the outcomes that we want in the end. So one, for example, the video game esports world. Reboot is a bar downtown it's an arcade bar, and it's in my district, in District 2, and it's a place where people, young people, old people, a lot of people, there's a vast age range of people that go there, but in particular, those who are probably under 40 or play a lot of video games. And one, now a lot of universities are starting to create esports teams. So there's a lot of money behind it. And kids these days, when I ask them, what do you like to do after school? They'll tell me, you know, playing Tekken or playing Fortnite. I'm like, did you know that there's a way you can start a career into being an esports player and getting sponsorships and being able to be sent out to all these places across the world off of the skill that you're developing now? And a lot of times people look at you crazy because they don't realize that there's money behind that. There's an entire economy that you can base off of esports when you have conferences, people that come in, the hotel, motel taxes that you get off of it, the sales taxes. Those types of things, those kind of get lost in the conversation at times when we talk about the outcomes that we want for our children, or when we talk about them learning better soft skills so that they're more hireable. One of the things that we got to think is how do we teach someone how to learn the skills that they need to be successful doing the things that they love? And music is one avenue that I learned it. Esports is another avenue that I've seen successful. And then, you know, with tactical urbanism, with art. Art has also been something that I've been working with a lot of people that are, I guess, yeah, well, in that, and art is something that stretches, you know, spans generations. There's the more experienced, well-known, well-renowned artists, mm-hmm. and then there's the new artists that are just emerging, and they want to figure out how they can get the same placement. And so helping people get through that process, that's been one of my things that I've enjoyed the most, because I had a buddy of mine who he's big into fashion. That's what he likes. He started his own brand, and so I helped him kind of figure out how to price it, how to set up a business, and then we ended up being able to get into the Make and Exchange pop up shop with Newtown, and so then he got the chance to go through Newtown's program where they teach him how to set up your business. They teach you how to use QuickBooks, how to break down your expenses and costs and your profit. And so just by helping someone do what they love, they learn how to fit into the mold where businesses want to see you at, you know, the soft skills that businesses need. So it's
well,
really
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, definitely, music and the arts, they're universal, and it's a language that, you know, transcends throughout the world.
Right.
But I also wanted to touch base with you right quickly. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. Please tell us about when the election is so that the viewing audience will know.
Yeah, so the election is June 9th. Early voting will start in May 18th, and it will run up until June 9th. But, yeah, get out and vote. A lot of things have changed because of the coronavirus, so we've had to, you know, we've had to shape shift as politicians. But yeah, June 9th is so far is the date that we're set for.
Well, I have some quotes here I would like for you to kind of answer, piggyback on right quickly before the show ends. The first one is by Mahatma Gandhi. It says, "In a gentle way, you can shake the world. How will you shake the world?"
By helping people reimagine what their world can be.
Here's another quote. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think at times we think we only see what we have available, and that's what confines us. So just spreading everyone's trying to help people see the that, you know, what we have can be better, and how do we get there? So, yeah.
And I have one more quick one. This is by Barack Obama. Your voice can change the world. How will you make your voice change the world?
I'm going to keep talking about the things that we need to address. When we think about systems, at one point we were dealing with overt issues, but now it's systems design. So we have to think about how we can change systems to help accommodate the needs of our community. And one of the systems that I know that we have to start with is transportation, making access to opportunities easier. And so transportation infrastructure.
Well, thank you so much, Weston Stroud, for being my guest right here on Happy Talk Radio. And I would like to emphasize to those people to contact him. He has a Facebook account. To please visit his Facebook. And would you like to tell them what your Facebook is?
It's Weston Hamilton Stroud. And then my Facebook page for my candidacy page is Weston Stroud for District 2.
Thank you for being my guest on Happy Talk Radio and listening and my listening audience. This is Gloria Stanley, your host with the most Happy Talk right here on Happy Talk Radio. Thank you, Weston.
Thank you.